Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Zero. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. Hour number three of this New Year's Day, the first edition this year of Free Talk Live is now underway.
New format and everything.
New format. Same hosts.
Happy 23.
I am the Reverend Captain Kickass.
I'm Nikki.
And Richard Rich.
And we do the show on Sundays. Try to have a good time with it.
Sure do.
Sometimes it's heavy, sometimes it's uplifting, sometimes it's zany, corny, other times it's serious. So that's what we do. If you want to join us, 603-283-6160. We have more to talk about with this 28-year-old who allegedly said he was inspired by the movie Office Space and somehow acquired $300,000. We'll get around
who
to that.
Who isn't inspired by Office Space?
Oh, yeah, the Bobs, they called me at home.
Bob.
What would you say you do here?
Well, I take the paperwork from the clients and I give them to the
engineers. Yeah. Well, why can't they just take them directly to the engineers themselves?
I'm a people person.
That's right. Anyway, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have Robert in New Jersey. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I was just... I was listening to you guys talking about the school, and I'm 63 years old. That's all I had was shop classes.
Oh, I love shop class.
Yeah. It was 6th, 7th, and 8th. I had metal shop, so I got to use all that stuff. And I had wood shop. So, I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know if they got rid of all of it or what. High school I had to...
I'm curious because when I was in high school, they got rid of auto mechanics. Apparently, that was something they used to teach, how to, change your own oil and tune up your car and check your tire pressure or whatever, that kind of stuff. They got rid of that, I think, 1 or 2 years before I hit high school because one of my older siblings got to take it. And then by the time I got it, they didn't have it. But I did have shop class as far as like woodworking and metalworking, that kind of stuff. Did they have auto shop or anything like that, mechanics?
Yeah, they had a auto shop, so they had wood shop. So I just took those for 4 years, and they had electronics.
See, and I went to private school, and they said, one day you'll be able to pay for those public school kids to do the work for you.
Did that happen?
I mean, I don't do much, so I pay for everything else to get done. I don't fix my own car. I don't fix anything.
Well, I also think that in those shop classes, you're learning valuable skills, right? So it's, to me, I think it's important to know at least a little bit of carpentry and, some auto mechanics to be able to be more self-sufficient. But I think they're trying to set the future generations up to not be able to do those things so they can pay other people to do those things. Like, you can't know how to change your own oil. Take it to the dealership. And even the way they're making cars nowadays.
Mercedes, you can't even open the hood or something like that.
Yeah. They're intentionally making it so people cannot do things themselves, so they constantly have to outsource. It's not always a bad thing to outsource, but...
Robert, your thoughts?
That's true. I just feel I was fortunate. I had 2 years of college, and that didn't do me any good. And so I'm just surprised no one ever is able to learn this stuff.
So people learn it because there's still carpenters and, metal workers and auto mechanics out there. They just don't learn it in school.
There's this technological curve, too, that happens, and I'm going to call it the youth curve. So when I was young, right, electronics, we didn't have the internet. We still had this, we didn't quite had the dawn of digital technology, so all electronics were still sort of analog. And myself and a lot of my friends, my school friends that I would meet there at my age, we were all, our parents were remote control. We were all the programmers of the VCR to keep it from flashing 12 all the time. You know, but because we were young and we picked up on that stuff easily, that's how we sort of became that. And this is a thing, this is an ageism thing for sure, but it's... In my opinion, at least anecdotally, it's true that the older people get, the less apt they are to learn new technology. That's why if I go online to play a video game, I'm more apt to get my ass kicked by, you know, like an 11 or 12-year-old kid than I am by some guy who's 45 or 50 years old.
They have so much more time to practice. It's just not fair.
And it's not just that. Children are sponges. So when you're young, that is your time where you are supposed to be learning. That's why when kids, I mean, you can have a 2-year-old that's trilingual.
Yes.
Because they just naturally pick it up. They're sponges. The younger they are, the more they can learn. And then once you start getting into high school, that starts to dwindle down.
Starts slowing down a little bit.
I'm fortunate that the school didn't beat it out of me.
Indeed, sure. You are. Were you able to go on and have a good life and be successful in your own way?
I make instruments for professionals and build houses.
Nice.
I've done it all.
There you go.
Yeah.
Satisfying work?
Oh, it's great. The money's fantastic.
I mean, technology moves things forward, man. No one goes down to the local blacksmith to have anything made.
No, that's true.
Well, actually, there aren't blacksmiths.
There are, but few and far between, and they don't do much. But they charge a pretty penny because it's all custom work at that point.
Yeah.
I do prefer, I do prefer, like, handcrafted stuff. I bought a couple of belts last year. I was tired of buying the, you know, regular go to the, you know, Target or whatever and buy off the shelf kind of thing, because they're never, they might say leather, but they're never really full leather, and, you know, the metal breaks and all that kind of stuff. So
they're different grains of leather.
Right. So I went and I bought a 100% leather belt with a hand forged buckle, and oh my gosh. I'm never buying another, like...
Because you don't need to.
I was taking a page out of Richie Rich's book. It was like, find something that's really good and well put together and probably more expensive, but then you're not going to have to buy another one.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's kind of...
It's forever.
Yeah.
I've got two full-grain leather belts, man, with a 100-year warranty.
Yeah.
I'm belted for life.
Yeah, you could change the buckles if they did it right.
Yep.
And it has a you know, beautiful tool work on there.
Yep.
Buy once, cry once.
Yep. Hey, Robert, thanks for the call. We appreciate you, man. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. The other thing that I bought that I don't think I've mentioned to you guys, I wear what are considered high tops, I guess, but I never shoes, tennis shoes. They're not steel-toed or anything like that.
Like Chucks?
No, they're...
Are they the Reeboks with the pump on it?
I got you.
What's difficult, though, is to find high tops that are fully solid black. Now, I found a couple of people that offer these, and so I bought like 4 pairs or something the last time I bought them. The problem is that whenever I go to lace them up, I eventually break the shoelaces, right? I like a tight, snug fit on my feet, so it's not so tight that I'm cutting off my circulation, but like, you know, you go to like... You know, pull up and fasten before you do the knot, and like snap, and it's always at the most inopportune time, right? Like you're already late and you're on your way out the door, and you're like snap, you're like, ah, crap, I got to relace my shoes. So I got into the habit of keeping like spare shoelaces in the junk drawer in the kitchen. But one day I ran out of those too, and I'm like, there's got to be a better way. I went online and looked, Kevlar shoelaces.
Nice.
I thought you were going to say Velcro.
No.
I thought it was going to be like fishing line. Where are
Kevlar shoelaces. So I bought 2 pairs. The one pair is on my shoes right now and has been for well over a year with no signs of wear at all.
Sweet.
Like, you can't even tell. Like, with regular shoelaces, you can tell where, like, oh, it looks like it always goes through the metal loop here and, you know, or around the eye here, that kind of a thing. There's no signs of wear on either of the shoelaces. Plus, I have a box with another pair in them.
Nice.
So, and they were like $20 a piece instead of, you know, $3.95 for regular-ass shoelaces at the drugstore. But Kevlar shoelaces are where it's at, man.
All of a sudden, I can't think of the name for that little plastic nub at the top.
The giblet?
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Okay.
Where?
The plastic piece that you start to threading.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a name.
Yeah.
I can't think of it all. But I had a pair of shoelaces where that was metal. Ooh. So I never have to worry about that, you know, cracking off or whatever. So if you could get, if they could combine that, right, Kevlar laces with the metal tip or whatever it is, then those would be like a lifetime shoelaces right there.
Yeah, I've seen no signs of degradation on whatever that is, the tip either. I assume it's Kevlar, but it does look like it's crimped somehow.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's plastic or whatever. I'll have to look into that. That's good looking out is what that is. But I just thought to myself, Kevlar shoelaces, guaranteed for life.
Yeah.
$20? Yes, I'm buying two pairs, right? You know, so.
Hold on, I'm buying a new pair of shoes. I got to take off my old laces.
That's exactly what happened. I had to, because I don't want to waste, so I had to wait. I didn't have to. I chose to wait until I actually broke the laces, right?
I misspoke. Aglet.
Yep.
It's called an aglet.
That sounds better than giblet.
So you know what giblets are, though? They are a real thing.
Parts
you know
of the
what
turkey.
They are?
Turkey giblets and gravy.
That, but they are the little charms that you can stick in the holes on Crocs.
Oh, okay.
You know how people decorate their Crocs? Those are called giblets.
Okay.
So that's where I got that from.
Got it. Aglets.
Yep. Aglets.
So metal aglets on your laces.
Metal! But you gotta throw in the metal.
Have you ever been to, I don't know if the site still exists, but like Ian's Shoelace site? Something like that? It's all the cool ways to lace up your boots or your shoes.
Oh, that's... I remember when I was middle school.
Oh, if you wanted
school,
to cross them over the one layer, go under.
Yeah, I used to do the bar laces, and I thought I was so cool.
Because you were.
Thank you.
I don't know if you were or not.
Now I'm...
No.
Now I'm so cool, I don't even tie my shoes. I've got slip-ons.
I tied my shoes once, and then I just slipped them on.
Yep, I'll do that too.
See, I have... call me old school, I guess, but I have... like shoes that I wear out, and then I have slippers, but I call them house shoes.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, like, if I just need to, like, take the trash out or check the mail or, you know, see what the commotion is about outside, I slip on the house shoes.
That's why I have Crocs.
Well, yeah, I'm not a fan of Crocs.
Whatever.
But either way, whatever you're comfortable with, I'm not judging. But, like, so I have house shoes.
Okay.
And so if I need to go down to the basement, I'm not going to lace up my shoes. You know, there you go. Nikki's
I've got insoles from the walking company in my Crocs for my house slippers.
That is so funny.
I put $80 insoles and $20 Crocs just to walk around the house.
Are they comfy?
Of course. That's why I put them in there.
Do they slide around at all, or are they pretty firmly?
I mean, they're sliding around now because they're old, and I should probably switch them out. But, you know. They got that whatever that rubber thing that nuts adheses, but it
creates that like friction.
Yeah.
So you're gelling in your Crocs?
Yeah, it was.
It's awesome.
I think we've carried things too far. Let's go to an unscreened caller here on Free Talk Live. Unscreened caller, what's your name?
My name's Robert.
Hey, Robert, where are you calling from?
Charleston, South Carolina. I live on James Island.
All right, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you were talking about car dealerships, particularly one make of a car company. I lived in Germany for 20 years, and I had relatives there. That's why I was able to stay and work that way.
Volkswagen?
And,
never buying a car made by Nazis. Switching to Tesla.
I worked for VW Gedas, the computer division of Volkswagen, among other divisions of Volkswagen.
Okay.
And I almost worked for Mercedes, but I had an interview with Mercedes in Leipzig. And when he discovered that I worked with Volkswagen already, he looked at me like a ghost and said, I'll have my chauffeur take you back to the train station. Thank you very much for coming.
I think he's upgraded his phone for 2023.
It does sound like. Have you upgraded your phone, Robert?
Do I sound okay?
Yeah.
Better than you did in 2022.
Maybe it's just a new year.
Okay, great.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. If this is a Nokia, that's why maybe it's a better phone.
Oh, it's not a Volkswagen?
It's finished.
Right. I'm Volkswagen, so then I'm Nokia. Nokia.
It's Nokia.
I know he's trying to speak German, but he sounds Klingon, right? From Star Trek. Okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, you know, it's very dangerous for the car to be sealed so that only a dealership or the company can open it, because you can never know what's really going on in there. They're going to tell you what they think. And there's no way that you can disprove it if they diagnose it incorrectly, and you could end up paying a lot more money because they misdiagnosed it and it was turned out to be something a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that's
the idea.
But they are trying to make it so that you don't even own your own vehicle. And that is to say, these car companies have already put things out there on the market where if you try to fix it yourself, you have voided like your lease or your contract to purchase the vehicle. By they're claiming that you're violating copyright by accessing certain portions of the vehicle.
They've copyrighted the software.
Tesla is really, really strict with that. And there's this guy on YouTube that modifies Teslas. And the big point of it, not cause, just because he's a car guy, is because you're not supposed to. Because they won't even sell you parts. It's a whole thing. Like, you have to go to Tesla. So he has some really funny modified Tesla cars.
You remember hearing about, like, having to buy cracked cell phones to get on, like, a different network or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening with Tesla.
The first jailbroken iPhone.
Right. You got to get a jailbroken Tesla or a cracked Tesla. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say it happened to me. You see, I had a problem with my air conditioning on a famous make German car. So I brought it to the dealership, and they told me that I had an $1,100 problem with the control head, which they have to replace. So I figured to myself, that doesn't sound right, because why would the control head be working basically to switch on and off, but just switching on and off at the wrong times and not doing it properly? So I brought it to a guy who in Mount Pleasant who does it privately. And there's a little cup in the back, and it has a little thing that sticks into it, and that's how it measures whether it should go on and off. But it senses that from the control head, and that thing, he charged me $100 to replace that. Okay, because it would have cost me $1,100, and then they would have discovered, oh no, that's not the problem. The problem is over here. So then they would have replaced both of them. That would have cost me at least $1,200, and the dealership is always more expensive, almost always more expensive than taking it to somebody semi-private like that.
Yep.
And because what are they going to say after they get it in there? They're going to say, oh no, it was our mistake. I'm sorry. You don't know. It wasn't the control head. It was only this little thing. They're not going to embarrass themselves when they have an opportunity to make a lot more money. But you know what I mean? I mean, otherwise they have to say, well, we made a mistake. It really wasn't that. It's only $100. Yep. You see? So they have an impetus to make themselves not look dumb by charging more money. So
what,
are they going to resist that opportunity? I don't think so. I have a good friend. I'm not condemning car dealers. They're dishonest people and incompetent people all over the place.
But we're not condemning them.
And each dealer is different. Some dealers are extremely good, and some dealers are not so extremely good. And I have an old friend. He's a great-grandson of a very famous Russian author. And his mother was down in Florida. She retired there. And he worked for a dealership, car dealership, for a short time. And he said to me in Russian, that это не честное дело. It's not an honest business, the car business, because he was supposed to sell cars, you know.
Right.
So maybe there is some truth to that. But I would never, ever let them seal it off so that you can't check it. And nobody can check it except that the dealerships. And the dealerships are not going to rat on each other.
Well, they have, and they're doing it.
I mean, they don't call it the dealership for nothing.
I spent like $20 for one of those on Amazon for one of those ODB2 things.
Yeah.
To read the
code reader. Yeah.
The code reader.
Yep.
And so I'm like, okay, I know what the code is. I'm not bothered by it, right? I'm not taking it in right away because it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
And then eventually it becomes a big deal and take it back to the dealership or the wherever you're taking it. And they go like, well, we have the machine that really can read those codes.
Oh, sure you do.
It's not what you think it is. It's not what your code reader says it is. It is much more detailed than that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
go ahead, Robert.
I think you can buy those code readers. I'm not really 100% sure.
No, you can. I have one.
You can buy. Okay, see? So you can figure it out yourself. Even the average person could probably figure it out themselves, you see?
But that's not what they told me at the dealership when I said, hey, my code is reading this.
Yeah.
You know, and they said, okay, we'll take a look at that. And then they started not fixing that problem. They're like, hey, what the hell are you guys doing? Right? The code reader said this. Like, start there. They went, well, our code reader read some other hidden codes that your little thing can't read.
And this is why I never go to dealerships. And I rarely buy brand new cars, so my cars are rarely under warranty.
Yeah.
I never go to dealerships to get any sort of work done. I either go to a local mechanic who I know personally, or I try to figure it out myself.
Right.
Because people, and especially being like a younger girl, they're just going to try to take advantage of me.
Right.
And joke's on them because I kind of know my stuff.
But hey, I went to
Robert, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
So I didn't learn how to do any of that stuff myself.
Me either.
I pay people to do it for me.
Nope, you got to go on YouTube and you got to figure it out.
I don't know. I mean,
or not. Or pay someone else to do it.
Right. I've got better things to do with my time. Like the
you get it, you're rich.
The opportunity cost right? To forego income.
Time is money.
Right.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm always working on something. Yeah. So I just go like, I'll go to work.
I'll let the peasants do it.
Right. Right. I'll go to work and do what I do to maximize my income, right? Rather than foregoing income to spend time on YouTube to learn how to fix a Subaru. I'll just take it in, pay them to fix it,
yeah,
and then go to work and make some more money to pay for that.
Did you know that Subaru backwards is you are a bus?
Okay.
I am?
Now you know.
I'm just saying. It's what it is. You are a bus. You're a bus.
Okay.
Because I spent so much time in the shop, I bought a backup car just to have a backup car.
It's one of my dreams is to have the secondary vehicle.
Yep. So, I'm selling one if you want it.
Not that one.
wait, what's wrong with it?
Everything.
Oh, okay.
It's just really, really rusty. It's fine. Oh, it drives.
It's fine. Yeah. Like a winter. So, like, I actually want my current vehicle to be my second vehicle and get a new primary vehicle.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
My backup vehicle is a rust bucket. Yeah. Like, it totally is. But I go like, well, I would hopefully drive it like no more than 2 weeks out of the year. You know, if and when I have to take, you know, the primary into the shop or, you know, drop it off for inspection, I'll drive that one and go pick up the primary.
It'd be easier for me to accomplish these things if I had a garage, which I don't have. It's my only regret in purchasing my property is that there is no garage currently. Something I hope to remedy in the future, either by, purchasing another property or renovating the one that I have.
I'm hoping for no big snowstorms because getting multiple vehicles off the street. Right, when Manchester shuts down.
In order to do the snow removal?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a pain in the ass.
It's going
to
be a pain.
Because you have to remove the snow to move the vehicles before you can remove the snow.
Well, no, as the snow's coming down, you got to move the vehicle.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, quick. You see those lights flashing, man, you know.
Well, and if it's one of those things where it's going to snow, 8 to 12 inches over the next 48 hours.
Right.
When do you move the cars?
When the light's flashing.
Yeah, when the light's flashing.
And it's a small window. It's like, all right, you got to be off the road by 10, and then don't forget to pick up your car at 6 a.m. the next morning.
Right, yeah. Yeah. That's a fact.
This is why I don't live in the city.
Yeah, whatever.
I had a recent experience with something called a starter relay.
Okay.
Has nothing. I mean, it's not a part of your starter, right? If you know what a car starter looks like,
it's the relay.
It's the relay that, in my particular case, sits inside of the fuse box, inside of the hood of the car. And so I went to start my car. This is actually last week, Saturday, to come and do Free Talk Live. I went to start my car, and everything lit up, but click, click, nothing, And I was like,
nobody's
this
home.
This is the second time I've. Went to start my car, and I've had it for about 3 years. So this is the second time. And I remembered something that I saw on a YouTube video about what to do. And so this was this matched those symptoms exactly. And there just happened to be a second one for something else inside the box. I swapped it up. Boom, started right up. And I'm like, sweet.
Nice.
Ended up getting one at the parts store for $12. And life was good. I went to the dealer. I asked the dealership to order me one. They were like, oh, it's going to be mid-January before we can get one for you.
So put in the order now.
More Free Talk Live is coming up.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Thousands gathered in St. Peter's Basilica as Pope Francis delivered his message for the new year. He also prayed for the late Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. The Vatican says Pope Francis will preside over Benedict's funeral mass in St. Peter's Square on Thursday. Northern California is getting shaken up on the first day of 2023 by a 5.4 magnitude earthquake. The U.S. Geological Survey says it struck at around 10:30 a.m. local time in Humboldt County. President Biden will visit Kentucky this week to talk about how his economic plan is rebuilding the nation's infrastructure. The White House says he'll be joined by Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. Tom Brady threw three touchdown passes as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers clinched the NFC South. It was a 30-24 comeback victory against the Panthers. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's right. It is the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. Here in the studio tonight, it's myself, the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass. Joining me,
it's myself, Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Not myself, Richie Rich?
I already am he who is Richie Rich.
You are he?
Who is Richie Rich?
You're he, him?
Whatever.
You he who art thou?
I am he who art thou, Richie Rich.
Nice, very well. Yeah. So we've got apparently everybody likes to call during the last half hour, so phones are packed. If you're trying to get in, you can keep trying, 603-283-6160. We'll see how things go.
Because now we do it live.
We do it live, and we've got, new for the new year, less commercials, more show, which should make for happier listeners.
Less time to screen your calls.
But now I've been doing more off-the-cuff stuff, so we'll see how that goes. A couple of things that I want to tell you is you can join Liberty-Minded Voluntarists, Anarchists, and Libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th Annual Fork Fest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is the fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out in 2022. For 2023, we're going back to where it all started, the weekend before Pork Fest. Fork Fest is decentralized, which means there's no ticket cost. And more importantly, no one is in charge. You make the event what you want it to be. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground June 15th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest Forum. Links to those, we'll find them over at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there, forkfest.party.
How long do we have until ForkFest?
It's in June.
June.
6 months or so.
All yeah, right. around mid-June or so. Shouldn't you already know this?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how much time I have to plan my wedding.
Well, there you go. That's about how much time.
It's a roundabout way to know when our wedding date is.
Basically.
Before we go on, I do want to say thank you to Marcus Bolf. He is a silver level amplifier, and that means he contributes $5 to this radio program. Where does that $5 go? Does it go to Richie Rich's video game addiction?
I wish.
Does it go to Nikki's doula, or her yoga class? Does nope. it go to the captain's beer fund? No. Does it go to any of those places?
Money's fungible.
It goes to help get this particular radio program, Free Talk Live, onto more radio stations. We're on somewhere around 180 or 200, somewhere in that pocket. We could be on more. We could be on 200, 250, 300 radio stations. Not out of the question. It's all up to you. Become an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. You do get some special little gifts for your contribution. That's not the reason why you should sign up. The reason you should sign up is because you like the message that we bring of peace, liberty, prosperity, freedom, and you like the hosts, the co-hosts, and the crazy cast of characters and callers that we have here on this show. More information over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you once again, Marcus Bolf. We appreciate you. All right. Moving right along, let's go to, we got John calling from Texas. John, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, so you all sound like reasonable people, and you'll have to excuse me because I'm just a man. And I can't fathom a couple of things, so I'm going to give you a little explanation and ask you a question. Maybe y'all can help me. I'll be 55 this year, and my entire life, I can remember back to Reagan and when he was shot. I've watched the political system say they're going to fix the education system, say they're going to fix the justice system, say they're going to fix the healthcare system, say they're going to fix the Social Security Administration and every other thing that they were going to fix. And here it is 40, 50 years later, and they're all completely broken. 65 to 70% of all politicians are lawyers, and they don't actually write the laws anymore.
Well, 2024 is an election year, so just vote harder next year.
For the life of me, I simply can't understand in this day and age with exactly how easy it is to do. I can't understand why a single person hasn't stood up and killed a whole bunch of them. Could you help me with that? Why do you think it is nobody has?
I have that question, too. I would think that even if I'm not going to do it myself, which I'm not, I don't believe in aggressing first. I believe in only defending. But it does occur to me, I'm not that much younger than you. You got about 5 years on me or so. And I've seen all the same things you've seen. I've seen governments repeatedly go, oh, we're going to fix this, we're going to fix that, we're going to... I can't name a thing government has actually fixed, right? And so it seems to me that that there's something wrong with the citizenry, that the people are too scared. They don't have the balls to actually stand up and do something about it. I'm not advocating for any sort of violence, but, at least standing up for yourselves, beginning to stand up for other people, right? Beginning to put these tyrants in their place... would be a lovely sight to see.
Well, there's a couple of quick things that come to mind when good men do nothing, evil prevails.
So I think that's part of your answer right there, right? Why hasn't it happened more? Because people are selfish. No one wants to be the guy that shoots the politician. They want someone else to do it for them so they can benefit from it. Without putting anything on the line.
I think a lot of people also don't really know what's going on or the extent to what's going on. People are more interested in their own lives. Like you said, they're selfish. Or reality TV. There's all these entertainment things like sports and stuff like that that is distracting people from what is actually going on in the world.
There was a guy who got famous on the internet a few years ago because there was like a rave, right, at some function or whatever. And he went there like 3 weeks ahead of time and buried a bottle of vodka so like he could sneak it into the rave. And then we got to the party, unbury the bottle of vodka.
Right.
Right. How far in advance do politicians plan out their events and where they're holding their rallies and whatever? Not saying you should go bury anything in the ground to go dig it up later, but the guy was famous on the internet for burying a bottle of vodka, and a lot of politicians come through New Hampshire round about election time to pimp their ideas.
John?
Well, I've always been the question kid, and, you know, the whole war on terror thing, I didn't believe that. I lived in Austin, Texas for a while. My very first job was helping restore the historical carpeting in the House Chambers Committee. As a social experiment, I ran several simulated experiments to see if I could sneak in chemicals, weapons, and explosives into the Capitol building. Not only that I do so, I use dummy materials.
Hey, John, I think your mic dropped away from your mouth or something. You got muffled there. There you go.
I simulated an experiment to blow up the Capitol building, and if I actually had the munitions, I could have. I don't believe on a war on terror.
You missed your opportunity on January 6th when everybody else was insurrecting it.
No. See, that's not the way to go. What you have to do is you have to find the linchpin. The problem in this country is really easily solved. What you do is you go to a political convention for prosecutors. You see, the prosecutors are the linchpin in this country. They're the ones that decide to charge or not. You go to a convention, you easily wipe out 4,000 or 5,000 of them at a swat. And I am an advocate for the destruction of tyranny. That may be illegal for me to say, but I no longer care.
If it's illegal for you to say, you're already in under tyranny, man.
Yeah. One of the things we do here at Free Talk Live is give folks a platform to say, you know, these types of things. So thank you for the call, John. We appreciate you.
I just don't think it's the answer. People will just be replaced. And
I mean,
you know, we need a complete restart.
How do you think you get a complete restart?
I think the answer, of course, is to, you know, gather with like-minded individuals.
And I think so
create
too,
a place where you can live as a free person. Because currently, there's not a place on planet Earth where somebody who wants to interact voluntarily with other individuals can do so.
And my point is, becoming the evil that you wish to destroy isn't the answer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Defensive violence is not evil. It's necessary.
But whether that's defensive or not is kind of up in the air.
So,
would this person be the aggressor in this case? Because I think they would.
Let's go to more of your calls and thoughts. I think you guys know who this guy is.
I should hope so.
I didn't recognize your voice when you called, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had a bad mic on.
You want to tell us who you are?
This is Peakless Mountaineer.
Hey, Peakless.
And I just called in to say that, Richie, you are right about buying quality products so that you don't have to buy them over and over again. And you are wrong about so many things. Most importantly, the homeschooling thing.
Go on.
So are you seriously going to sit there and tell me that it is only a minority of people that will benefit from having parents raise children?
No, but one of the problems with libertarians is they think that all of education can be solved if every parent homeschools.
So there's no universal solution to everything. There's no silver bullet to everything except for freedom. But as far as the outcomes are really, really obvious, as long as there's structure to it, the unschooling is still kind of iffy. But every structured homeschooling, they destroy everyone else on all of the structured tests, on all the standardized tests.
Right. And what I said was, I believe that that's more correlative than causative. What's that?
I said it's as provable as it is possible to be provable that an untrained parent is better at teaching children than teachers.
Okay. And not every parent and not every child.
Sure.
I think you both agree on that, yeah.
Well, that's all I'm saying. So when we went off the air, it was, what do you think? And I said, all of the above, right? Whatever works best for the child, and for whatever reason, libertarians get caught up in the homeschooling is the only way, and that's also nonsense.
I mean, I don't think that anything is the only way. There's no one only way.
Got it.
It is 90% of the functional way of raising children. Is raising children.
Wait, what? 90%?
That's a tautology. Go on.
That's what you're talking about. So homeschooling is raising your own children instead of handing your children off to be raised.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. But as a facilitator of a child's education, right, there are certain areas where you may find yourself out of your depth, and you have to pass that child on to someone more qualified than you to take over.
But there's also so many online homeschooling programs, so it's like if I'm terrible at math, which I'm not really, but if I was terrible at math or science or whatever, I didn't know something, I could find some sort of program on the internet or even a YouTube video to show my kid so they would be able to be more equipped in that
topic. Or you could hire a tutor, like somebody that you don't have the expertise on, right?
Or hear me out, a tutor that teaches the same subject to multiple kids at the same time. How efficient would that be?
Well, it depends on how you want your child's education to be. Actually, for me, it would be how my child would like their education structured.
Understood, which is why I'm saying all of the above, because you have to allow the child to choose, right, to go to school if they want to.
And some kids want to.
I know, that's my point.
If the lesson is so universalizable, then you can just get a recording of it. If it's the basic lesson that you can teach to hundreds of people, then you can have a recording of that.
And you're assuming that particular student would learn best by watching a video online rather than interacting with a class or with an instructor and having a discussion-based learning environment.
Defined for where you need to expand what you can teach a child.
Say that again?
And, yes, you are going to get better results from smaller class sizes. I can't believe I have to tell you this. So, yeah, that goes all the way down to a handful of students is going to go way better because they have the personal attention of the teacher.
If the teacher is knowledgeable in the subject and not just the parent.
Yeah, and with public schools, you don't get that choice, right? You don't get to evaluate the teacher whether or not they're good at teaching, you know, history, geography, math, whatever it is. You're just stuck with whatever your kid gets.
But if a libertarian kid goes, you know what, Mom, I want to go to public school, what are you going to tell them?
I think that is the most important piece of it, is the individual needs to be consulted. This goes back to living vicariously through our children, enforcing what we want on our children. If my kid, and I'm a very, you know, I'm going to homeschool my kids, but when they come to a certain age and they're like, hey, I'd like to try out public school. Like, I want to see what's going on with that.
Hopefully by that time public school will be abolished. But if it's not, and they request it themselves, having been homeschooled up until that point, I think you have no choice but to allow them to go to experience it themselves to see if whether or not what you've been saying about public schools is true so that they can make up their own mind as to whether or not it's going to be beneficial to them.
But if homeschooling is the best way and 90% more productive than any other way, why would you allow that of your child?
I mean, I think it is the best way, but it doesn't. It's still the individual's
choice. Beakless, hang on.
It's still the individual's choice. So even if I think that my children would be better off in a learning environment in my home, like with the family, it doesn't matter because I respect my child as an individual and I will give them the freedom to do whatever they... So even if they will get a worse education in a public school or in a private school, I would still allow them to do that because it's not my life.
That almost seems negligent.
That can be negligent depending on how you do it. So taking the child's input on their education is an extremely valuable tool, yes, but... You don't let them determine whether they eat candy for dinner every night. Because dealing with a child is some degree or another of negotiating with a drunk person. They are neurologically impaired.
Hey, Peekless, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. I just want to say that there's some truth to what he's saying. However, when you have... Particularly teenagers, right? When you start getting the hormones going,
yeah,
right, and you start having some sexual interests in the other sex or same sex, whatever way you swing, right? When that starts happening, you want to meet people your own age to take care of that thing, figure that out.
And that's sure. Cool. I will let my kids do that.
And that's totally cool. And so right now, like, I actually am aware of one person who was in this situation where they were rather homeschooled, became a teen, and were like, hey, I want to check it out. Can I just go to the public school and, you know, met a girl, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, like, there are other ways for teens to meet other teens, of course. But
obviously,
that is probably where you're going to get the most interaction with your age group.
Sure. So let them do it if right. They choose it.
I right. Also just don't like
that's
the
all I'm
argument.
Saying. Is like, if the kid is like, hey, I want to go, check it out. Okay.
I just don't like the argument that, like, children are neurologically impaired. They're not completely, their brains aren't completely developed yet, but they are still human beings. Yes, yeah. They're not just mini adults, but they're human beings and their input is important. And it's important for people to show their children, like, I respect you as a human being. I respect yeah. Your choices.
And if you accept the premise, right, that children learn differently and some flourish in different environments than other environments.
Right.
You have to leave that environment open for them to flourish in,
yeah.
Even if that happens to be a public school in some
you
form.
Might as well try it out.
Until public school vanishes and is no longer.
Right. And so if you want to get into like the how it's funded, fine. But I'm specifically talking about the structure surrounding it, not necessarily the funding behind it.
Sure. Let's move on. Let's go to Major Payne in Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you guys have been talking about all kinds of screwy and interesting things tonight. The other fact you're talking about the name of the tip of a shoelace, right?
Aglet.
What was it?
Aglet.
An aglet?
Yeah. You know what they call it?
He's got some story about his aglets now.
They've always said the pen is mightier than the sword, right? Do you remember what the tip of the old steel pen was that you had to dip in the ink well or was drip?
Quill. Or something.
The quill no, was the quill. Feather.
Oh, okay.
Steel tips.
Oh, then no.
It was called a nib.
The nib.
Yep.
Okay.
A nib, yes.
Isn't that a Sabbath song?
Yeah, it is.
Go on.
Go on, Major.
Well, that's the oldest nib. But like I said, the pen, they say, is mightier than the sword, but it doesn't seem to be so. Everybody knows what the tip of the sword is called.
What's it called?
Death.
Oh, okay.
Thought there was like going to be some fancy terminology for it, Major. We were in mid-vocabulary lesson.
I wish I had it. If it exists, it's a conundrum. But
so the nib is a conundrum?
There's a book that I used to read to my kids. It was looking for something. It was a tale of a little Ecuadorian donkey. And he grew up with his mama in a banana patch. And for the first year, you know, he'd just follow his mama around and get him a little milk when he wanted. And they'd load bananas on mama and haul them out. And everything was good. Well, the second year, they started loading, looking for something with these bananas. And he's like, I don't think I like this. So he decided to go looking for something. So he wanders off in the hills and he ends up in this damn coal mine with these baskets hauling rocks out of this dirty place. Finally, after about 2 years, he chews through his rope and busts loose, makes his way back to the banana patch, and realizes that what he was looking for, he had all the time.
Well, it's kind of just being content with your situation, and that doesn't leave a lot of room for growth either.
No, but it makes you have to be content in a good situation. Sometimes when your ill content will lead you down the forked trail, and you never know where that's going
to
lead.
There's something to be said, like a lot of people spend their time trying to be happy, and they spend so much time trying to be happy that they don't realize when they actually are. And so they find themselves in a place where they actually are happy, but they don't believe that they are happy, and so they actually try to be more happy than they actually are. And then at some point they figure out, after having ruined it all, that they're like, oh, you know, I wish I could go back and like be in that place again, because, well, I was actually happy. They don't figure it out until it's past, and then they just wish that they could, and it's too late. You were happy. You could have stayed there, but you weren't self-aware enough to realize what happiness actually was. Major, thank you for the call. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I think that goes hand-in-hand with gratitude also. You know, when people are grateful for what they have and they can be reflective, so not just like, oh, content in their situation, but truly reflective of what they have, yeah. I think that is a huge way that people can actually assess what their actual emotions are.
I think that goes hand in hand with what is wealth, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people go, oh, you just have enough money to do whatever you want. No, that's not wealth. To me, wealth is you have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
To do whatever you want. Not money, time. Right? If you can free up your time, you are a far wealthier person than the next man, in my opinion.
For a lot of people, you free up your time by having more money.
That's one way to do it.
Right. If you have an external source of income where you're not trading time for dollars, and you just are making money by existing, you have all the time in the world to do whatever it is you want.
Right. But again, the question is how much, right? If you have, a house that's paid off, you have time.
Sure.
Right?
But if you have money coming in to pay off your house, right, because you're renting out a room to a renter,
right,
who's paying more in rent than your mortgage,
right,
and you're already ahead of
the game.
Now you're in the positive. So now you have plenty of time, because that's one less expense for you.
You got more responsibility, of course, but yes, you're ahead of the curve, and so therefore you are more wealthy because you freed up more time.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's...
But you freed up that time by having more income and money.
You put yourself in a position to where you could have the free time. And so other people would, instead of having that free time, they would go ahead and continue to, like, work their full-time, or two jobs, right? Full-time and a part-time, and just keep raking in the bucks. Whereas if they spent that time doing things that would improve themselves and their family, they might find that they're even wealthier than they were than having, you know, all of that money.
Panhandlers have a lot of free time.
We're out of time. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to Richie Rich, Nikki.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. This has been Free Talk Live. Peace.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.